May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a quote. I love what it says. Our union with Christ, our being in Christ, Christ being in us, our oneness, means that Christ takes our place in all our human life and activity before God, even our believing, our praying, and our worshiping of God. For he has yoked himself to us in such a way, in such a profound way, that he stands in for us as us and upholds us at every point in our human relations before God. That's an amazing statement. This is a real familiar passage of Scripture. It would be one of the verses that I've studied and memorized and talked about the most. This is Galatians 2:20. So for a lot of people, this is a refrigerator verse, you know, little magnets on the refrigerator doors. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this is the literal grammar that it should be, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Let me read this scripture a few verses earlier in verse 16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through the faith of Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I wanted to read that in the statement that I read to you earlier. Again, he says this, Christ takes our place in all our human life and activity before God, even our believing, our praying, and our worshiping of God. Our faith, though we may not know it, is actually a response to his faith and his faithfulness. Jesus came and plunged himself into the darkness of our broken humanity, took it all on as himself. He became a man. He clothed himself in humanity, and in his humanity took all of our yuck, and redeemed it all, raised us up as a new creation, a new human in him, restored better than the original version, even before the fall. The way the Christian life works, he said, is no longer I, but Christ. The way the Christian life works is that when I express love to God, it's always so imperfect. I love the old hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Because how can you say it right? How is there enough to be said? But what Jesus does is that because he represents me, he lives his life through me, he takes my imperfect expression of love and enfolds it into his perfect love for the Father and presents that before the Father as if it was all us. But it's Christ. You could say in that scripture, not I, but Christ. I love him, but not I, but Christ. In this scripture, he talks about faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, that would be true. If the person who's living the Christian life through me is Christ, then he joins himself to my imperfect love and adds his perfect love in worship to God. You know, when we worship, as imperfect as our worship is your worship ever imperfect? We're in the middle of worship, you get distracted and start thinking about the dog or the thing, and then you come back to the place of worship. Does God just hate that? No, Jesus just takes that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect, and folds it into his perfect worship and presents that to the Father. That's amazing to me. That's the same thing about our faith. The 2 Timothy again says in 2:13 that even when we believe not, he abides faith. You know, and you may say sometimes, I just don't have strong faith. But does Jesus? And he's your life, not I, but Christ. Even when we believe not, that verse says, he abides faithful. Wow. So I offer faith, but here's the cool thing. That I have enough faith for the God to respond to me and release favor in my life? On your own, no. I believe, yet not I, but Christ. Because he takes my faith and he presents it folded into his faith to the Father. And the Father responds to that faith. That's why trying to believe doesn't help. Just have childlike faith. Simple childlike faith. Because then we're resting in the faithfulness of Jesus, resting in the faith of Jesus. His surrender is my surrender. If Christ is living through me, what I offer as surrender, what so encourages me, Lord, I want to offer everything. And he just says to me, offer what you can offer. And Jesus takes that and he offers that as everything because in his humanity, that's how his surrender is. Lord, I want to be so obedient. Well, just surrender to the obedience of Christ. So offer my obedience and surrender to Christ, and that obedience Jesus completes. Jesus said in the Upper Room Discourse, he says, my peace you'll have. He says, my joy you'll have. My peace, my joy. So as I rejoice in the Lord, as I choose to rejoice, I'm responding to how much joy does Jesus have before the Father and the Holy Spirit. And I just embrace that and rejoice, even though I may be rejoicing under stressful moment, under hard place, under ridiculous things. I offer this sacrifice of praise and Jesus joins it to his praise. And that's what the Father experienced. That's what he responds to. And therefore, I can celebrate in life how much he's enjoying me, because he's enjoying me as much as he enjoys Jesus. Because Jesus is offering up my weakness before God, and his strength is made perfect. You see, it started off that way when Jesus as God, says the Father sent him, God the Father, and God the Son said yes, and God the Son came and clothed himself in humanity, went to the cross and died. So God loves you and me more than he loves himself. Think about that. But isn't that what love is? Isn't that what the scripture calls us to walk in towards each other? That's what it says in Philippians 2. God loves us more than he loves himself. And so therefore, he doesn't just leave us in our weakness, our weak faith, our weak love, our weak worship, our weak... We offer up what we have. But what God experiences is union with Christ. Our weakness made perfect in Jesus in all those expressions. When we have somebody in our life who's hard for us to forgive, the truth is, apart from Christ, it's impossible for them to forgive. Our humanity apart from Christ is still just too broken for that. And so we just say yes to the forgiveness of Jesus. And then in that, apart from feelings, we extend to them the forgiveness that is Jesus. I forgive, yet not I, but Christ. And what comes forth is divine activity, the divine anointing, the manifestation. I talk to people all the time who say, I'm just having a hard time forgiving that person. I said, but Jesus doesn't have a hard time forgiving them at all. You know what he said at the cross? Father, forgive them. They're knuckleheads and don't know what they're doing. I mean, I add a little part of knuckleheads, but that's basically what he meant. Because the forgiveness of Jesus is not dependent on the behavior of people. It's from the inside out, and I get to walk in that because he completes what I offer in response to what he's able to do. And then forgiveness is easy because it's supernatural. It's not a principle. It's not me doing what somebody on television said I'm supposed to do. It's joining Christ in his capacity to forgive that person. That's why the Christian life is so miraculous. It's so supernatural. When we say it's Christ who lives his life through us, we really mean that. In every respect. Amen. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.